My wife, during the break, you know, the topic that we talked about before the break. And look, I'm not trying to offend people. If I get upset, I'm very passionate about the subject. This is, I mean, everything's at stake, ladies and gentlemen. And my wife came down and quantified this really simple. She says, here's what you tell people. She says, in China, they're not allowed to read the Bible. So the Bible's important to you. You're not allowed to read the Bible in China. Ask yourself why. Why can you read the Bible here, but can't read the Bible in China? And you'll come to the conclusion, you can read it here in America because of the Declaration of Independence, the Charter of our nation, and because the Bill of Rights guarantee it. That's it. And so if those things fall, you won't be able to read your Bible either here. And then you're going to say, wow, maybe the Bill of Rights were important. Maybe it was just as important as part of my Bible. Because I see what's going on, how people are treated, and how God is offended. The creation of God is so offended by government. If you sat Moses down, and this is 1776, Moses, will you please write a sentence on the government's purpose and man's role and destiny in that, and dominion and role in government? Would you please do that? You would be hard-pressed to say that he wouldn't write what Thomas Jefferson wrote, or close thereto. Okay, you may disagree with me, I don't know. But either way, here's what I know very surely, and what is a big basis of our show. If we don't get a conviction and an understanding and a knowledge of the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence, we will not have an America, period. If we do not get a conviction about it, that it is important, and that we will live for it, we will die for it, whatever. I don't want to be too dramatic, but the same thing, that it's more important than your life. Until you understand, like Patrick Henry, that this is more important than your life. There's very few things in this world that are more important than your life. You would probably say, most of our audience would say, the Bible. Okay, the Bible is more important than your life, yes. Well, so is the Bill of Rights. So is the Declaration of Independence. That's what I'm trying to say to you. It is more important than your life. Name me 10 things that are more important than your life, your physical life here. It'd be hard to do. Well, I just told you two of them. The Bible and the Charter of our nation are more important than your life. There you go. Our first guest, or our second hour here, I'm really excited talking to him during the break. He's very contagious. His enthusiasm is contagious. Judd Dunning is his name. He's a writer. He's a producer. He's done. He has a podcast. The name of his podcast is Bullet Point Nation. And, of course, he's written this book, 13 and a Half Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal. I'm very excited to talk to him. BulletPointNation.com is his website. Judd Dunning, welcome to the Power Hour.
Thank you for having me. I have to jump in and say, when you were talking about your wife, I looked at my favorite Proverbs. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? So it's good to hear a man that relies on his wife, because mine is my backbone.
Wow. Well, there you go. Wow. I didn't expect that. That's very good. There you go. Proverbs, what is that? Proverbs what?
Proverbs 31:10.
Proverbs 31 wife. There you go. Well, thank you to my wife. She knows I love her. I hope she does. And there you go. Let's talk about tell us a little bit about yourself. When we don't know anything about you, and we'd like to meet new people, I'm excited to have you on, just quickly.
Yeah, sure. I live in the People's Republic of Los Angeles, where haircuts are illegal. So I look pretty furry on the other side of this call. We don't go to restaurants because that's not allowed. And if you're a conservative, you're generally canceled. So I live here. I do love California. There's some great people out here. I've been here for a long time. I came out for entertainment. I originally hail from North Carolina and Colorado. Our family goes back to 1770. We fought the British. I'm a direct descendant of Robert E. Lee. We fought on both sides of the war. We're just good old school Americans, just happen to be on the left coast.
What have you ever thought, you know, a lot of people are. Have you ever thought about leaving California? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, look, what they're going to do, the way everyone knows California is just running our state economy into the ground. They're talking about adjusting Newsom and Garcetti's policies, by about a 5.8% tax hike shortly in the coming year. So we're definitively, you know, they're not doing a good job here. I've got 10 cities around us. The city is not paying attention to our needs. It's hyper-liberal. It's just not being run well. So I'm having an issue about whether I want to pay, you know, those taxes. So I'm looking in Texas. I'm looking in Florida. We're looking at some of the tax-free states, and, you know, living there as well. Yeah, a lot of us are going. I mean, look, the problem is I'm a surfer and I'm addicted to good waves. So, you know, the conservative boardroom is on a piece of foam in the ocean.
This is interesting. Robert E. Lee, I didn't know. Okay, I have to ask you about Robert E. Lee. Obviously, they're taking down statues left and right. I'm a Southern boy by descent, and let me get your take on canceling Robert E. Lee.
Yeah, I mean, look, man, you know, I grew up on Lynyrd Skynyrd. The Southern flag, also, it has its roots. Canceling history anywhere is bad. You were talking about China and canceling religion and repressing religion as a part of how you instill socialism and fascism and socialism eventually. You know, taking out our history, it was a problem. At the time, there were some great black scholars, black American scholars that were saying, hey, just put a plaque and a secondary statue by everything. And I think that would have been a better symbol. And, you know, we could have left stuff in place as a symbol of, you know, we'll see what Biden's going to do to Trump's statue park. I don't think he's said anything yet about an executive order for that, for the, what was it, the Garden of Heroes. I'm sure that'll be on the chopping block soon. You know, I think history is wise and powerful, and if Americans knew history, they'd be evaluating every policy bias. So I was very opposed to removing it. Now, there are a few people that were highly controversial. Sure, you know, I mean, we can adjust. We're not regressive at all. But in general, let's not cancel history.
Well, Robert E. Lee, my question, you want to cancel Robert E. Lee? Okay, are you going to give Arlington Cemetery back to his family then?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, because that's his land. I mean, that land was used for Arlington Cemetery.
That's right. He paid the price, right? He ended up being penniless, and he actually was a lead party of the Reformation. And there's a beautiful scene where Robert E. Lee, in a silent church, walked up to kneel and take communion beside a black man to break the silence in that church. He was a force. As soon as America pivoted toward healing, he burned down everything, and he gave everything to the Reformation. Meanwhile, it was the Democrats and the KKK's organization that was out there perpetuating the ongoing trials and suffering of the Civil War. And those were not his people.
Well, if you want to talk about, I hate that the slave issue becomes a honeypot in many ways, but Robert E. Lee freed his slaves way before Ulysses S. Grant, way before. I don't know if people know that, know history. If they look at the history, it's ridiculous. Robert E. Lee is a revered figure. And should be in American history, should be, and should stay that way. Let's get to your book. I love the title, 13 and a half reasons. Why is it 13 and a half? I don't know. 13 and a half reasons why not to be a liberal. What made you write this book?
Well, we always said it could have been 1,000, but we didn't want to kill all the trees.
<laughs> <laughs> Why the half? Why 13 and a half? Where'd the half come from?
My fast answer is because it's about Nancy Pelosi because she's always half cocked and half drunk. But actually, the real reason, is it's definitely, so we took life. So we did the 13 ideological core principles. We did a panel with a lot of very notable conservatives, and we distilled down what is ideology really about. And we put the pinnings of every point of ideology in our book, and then how to argue in the book. But then we set outside in the 13th, 12 principles. The 13th chapter is actually Trump, because we knew, you know, Trump, Biden, everybody is a snapshot in time. Presidents work for us. You know, if government's working well, we don't hear about it that much, but that's changed a lot. So, you know, a president is still an afterthought. So in terms of ideology goes, his ideology is greater. As you said, it's something that we lay down our life for, you know, as I thought it was a great open that you gave on that. The 13th and a half reason was life. Because, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, during the shock of the Roe versus Wade periods, when people didn't really understand it, they made it into a broader issue instead of states' rights, and where, you know, it was still, I mean, American, women are still some of the very freest in the world as far as abortion goes compared to most of the world. So it's very distorted fact used to try to get people to be Democrat or Republican. So we made it the last chapter, and we said that life is more important than ideology itself because it has that value.
Wow. I'm impressed. Is this book, this is kind of like a primer to get people to help talk, so I can talk to my liberal friends? Is that basically what this, the kind of the genesis of this?
Well, you know, they interviewed us at the very beginning before everything changed. And, you know, for a while, like once everything took off, we said, hey, the middle is dead. So, you know, read our book for history and understanding and how to argue in forward. We really did put it out there originally for to try to find a middle. I was a liberal. I was a liberal prior. So a little by history. So my, although that's the family I came from, I went to Colorado State University in the 80s, and there was not one professor that wasn't all about climate, white oligarchical conspiracy, corporatism, regressive republicanism. I didn't have one, and I was social science and economics. I didn't have one professor that was a conservative. So then I went, I took an acting class to sell insurance and real estate, my family tradition. And then I was good, and I went to acting school, and then I got scouted, and I went to Hollywood and everything. But right after I got out of school, I sold everything I owned, and I washed my hands clean of the horrible America as a civil liberties free law student, and I went to Europe, never to return. And my dad's like, I just gave you that car. I'm like, I'm selling it, you corporatist. You know, he's like, you've gone mad, son. So I went to Europe, and I realized that America was the greatest nation on earth. And I got to see it firsthand, and I came back. And but then Al Gore, Hillary Clinton, Oliver Stone, they were all there with open arms, and I was brainwashed for many, many years. And then 9/11 came along. And in 9/11, I finally did announce. I was like, you know, somebody who's never experienced war. And I think that's why we have a lot of these divorced younger people that don't really understand the context of socialism and communism that relates to, you know, free market, republic, constitutional republic, and what we really have. And then yeah, that was how I woke up, that when war came home, I had to really reevaluate good and evil from a point of moral absolutism versus moral relativism. Back to the book. The book is there's that TV show, 13 and a half Reasons Why, about suicide. And I really hate how it kind of generalized that toward younger people. It's a very serious issue to think that we could deal with our pain through even considering such an, you know, an aberrant way to address the beauty of life that God's given us. So I wrote 13 and a half Reasons Why Not as kind of a war on moral absolutism. I mean, on relativism as absolute, you know, and for those of you in the audience, absolutism is that there actually is a, you know, good and bad. Not everything is relative. So that was the birth of the book.
Michael Rechtenwald, I don't know if you know him, he's been on, and he was talking about his experience at NYU, how he just had a differing opinion. I mean, he was as liberal as they came and had a differing opinion about one issue, and they canceled him right out of the university. And he was warning our listeners that, you know, don't waste your money on sending your children to these universities. Are you that dire about it? I mean, is it that bad in these universities?
Look, I think let's just look at today. In the last 3 days, Biden replaced the 1776 report with the 1619 project. So technically, our nation's stock of patriotism and self-respect just dropped 157 points. You know, that is where wow. We're at right now. Those are the two theories of America. I think you have to be very careful where you send your children, and I think you have to educate at home. They're talking about reprogramming us and putting us in reprogramming camps because we supported Trump. This is a pretty serious time. So I think any conscious parent who loves God, loves their country, loves their family should really think about what they're doing on education and at least make sure there's some kind of counter-education involved.
Let's get into the book. Let's start with chapter one. I love these topics that you bring up. I thought you did a really good job with these. Big government fails at almost everything. Let's start there.
Yeah. Well, some of the core issues is what conservatives should know, because we're free market, small government people. As Dennis Prager said, the bigger the government, the smaller the citizen. I don't think you could put it much better than that. And then if you look back at the facts, what are the facts? Most government programs fail. There have been countless interventionist, catastrophic government mistakes that have destroyed lives and spread misery. Let's go through them quickly. On a high line, FDR's New Deal failed to lift Americans out of the Great Depression. He tried to, the courts, the Supreme Court struck down 75% of those programs as unconstitutional. He tried to pack the courts. You know, that was a failure right there in the New Deal. The next one was in the 60s, the war on poverty. You know, blacks in 1964 were like a 15% poverty rate, and they were just moving upward. Larry Elder and Thomas Sewell talked about this, and then 72% of illegitimacy rates on blacks have followed since the war on poverty. That failed. The 2008 housing crisis, and this is what conservatives need to know. You know, liberal politicians, Barney Frank and Christopher Dodd, played racial politics with the banks. Look how that ended. Obama said, you know, shovel ready was not as shovel ready as we expected. We had tried to create green jobs in Solyndra. So, you know, there are so many facts of why. You know, name one big government social program government has gotten right. Take your time. I'm waiting, right? I mean, that's what you have to say to people.
What? I was going to flip that to you. You know, I've had conversations with people. I was going to ask you this basically the same question. What is it that the government does that they do efficiently or better than, you know, private could do? I mean, maybe make bombs. They're good at making bombs and fairly good at making planes.
Yeah, I'll keep the military in the government because the military industrial complex is pretty scary. I mean, that's why a president mentioned in his farewell speech. I think we'll keep the military with the government. Thank you very much. I mean, roads, we could probably do a better job on roads, right? Taxation didn't even exist until, you know, 150 years ago. We used to actually take care of our own and handle things through the state. I mean, look, they're involved in, you know, trade policy and free markets and foreign policy. Yeah, I wouldn't want to privatize foreign policy. So I think we found a common ground there. But generally, if you look at the way that, you know, I try to explain this in the book, is that it's all out there in the ethers for the average citizen, but the Federal Registry is where the three branches of government, not including the fourth, the media now that trans, you know, makes people presidents, but the three actual original branches of government, you know, they all come down to one place, and that's a Federal Registry. And those laws that balloon up or balloon down impinge our negative liberties. So a conscious conservative wants to say, oh, well, what's happening with those laws? Well, Trump had a two-for-one removal of regulations. The laws started deregulating, and we freed up, and the economy boomed. So, you know, now I can't buy light bulbs that I like a different color. I can't buy a shower head in California. Slowly, little things become illegal, and that's what we have to keep our eyes on.
You know, the children that are coming out of school, high school, it's obvious that it's an extreme socialist leaning kind of bent. I mean, it's just obvious if you're paying any kind of attention. The young people, the millennial generation, statistically, they are much more sympathetic to socialism. That you may even say they're a socialistic generation. I mean, some researchers will even say that. How do you then reach that generation with some of these kind of in-your-face kind of facts or discussions, because they're often in la-la land about these subjects? How do you reach them?
Well, you got to punch them with the facts. I mean, I do think they listen to facts. I do think they're hungry. I do think they're disgusted. I mean, they need to know that outright socialism, government seizes the means of private production, period. In democratic socialism, this Bernie, soft socialism, AOC, dance on Instagram socialism, people freely vote to give the government the right to seize the means of private production. That's crazy. You know, and by the way, socialism is self-canceling because it eventually will remove itself. It's failed miserably every time, 50 to 60 million people. As Marx said himself, the purpose of socialism is to move to communism. It's designed that way. So if they understand what they're playing with, that helps. You know, and I think breaking up this Norway and Sweden are now moving, are the darlings of socialism. That's not true. They're both politically right, moving in a right-wing direction. Switzerland is just as, you know, is just as successful and far less socialistic than Finland and Denmark, you know, and they only work because they're a small country. So they're being educated with a lot of false narratives based on, you know, these generalized, homogenized facts. So I really respect this new generation. I think they're amazing. I've got one sitting in my office beside me, smart as a whip. I think that we just have to give them the facts and the defense.
There's another chapter in the book, Justice Does Not Need an Adjective. I really like that. Tell us about that. What is this chapter about?
Well, the essence of that, I think you opened up the show with it, you know, is that on an ultimate level, justice is eternal. It's a marking that we use through moral absolutism that things are good and things are bad. It's actually sweet. It's kind. It's beautiful, you know. The founding fathers never explicitly stated that the document, the Constitution, was evolving. It was a standard to take us through the storm ahead, you know, storm that's like a storm we're having right now. The federal Constitution can't unilaterally alter the Constitution, and, you know, and then if the federal government can't unilaterally change the Constitution, how can the court? So we've got these catchphrases of environmental justice and gender justice and all these social justice. Justice is like divinity. It doesn't need let's flip it over. Environmental divinity, transgender divinity. No, it's just divine. So, you know, that's basically the essence of that chapter. You know, loose constructionism requires ignoring the Federalist Papers and reading the minds of a bunch of dead men. You know, unless you own a Ouija board made before December 14, 1799, you have no idea what George Washington was thinking. And for people to think today is the height of arrogance. So, you know, what's good is good, and that's what we do as conservatives. We conserve certain principles that seem to hold everything together in a higher order.
You know, you're talking about Trump, what we've seen, Constitution, the rule of law. I've said I've been very critical about this moment. If this election is not allowed, if it is allowed to stand and that we go on like this, to me, the United States just ended. Because the basic questions, the rule of law, Texas going to the Supreme Court and getting their case heard, they have original jurisdiction from the Union of States. There is no Union of States. And will we ever get over this? Sorry, I timed this way wrong. There's the music. I'll ask you that in a simpler form on the other side, Judd. Judd Dunning.
Thank you so much, Daniel. Great.
BulletPointNation.com is his website. 13 and a half reasons why not to be a liberal. 13 and a half reasons why not to be a liberal. Love it. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Power Hour.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer.
This is the True Wild Oregano Oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you eat your man of food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Yes, they should. Everyone should be pro-life, you would think. And more abundantly, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what we preach here in the United States of America, or at least used to. Thepowermall.com, that's the place where all the great products have come together for you, your health, your future. If you haven't realized, it's up to you. It's your responsibility. We have the great guests on, a wide variety, political, medical, whatever. It's up to you to then put it into practice. We've got them all at the Power Mall. Buy from the good guys, will you? Your prayers, your donations, your purchases, everything. Thank you. And you're welcome for what we do. Independent media is funded by you. We don't get a check from George Soros. We get checks from you. Your support allows us to have great guests and great independent thought like Judd on. Really, I never met Judd before. Real excited to have him. He's here because you buy products from us. There you go. Put the two and two together. ThePowerMall.com. ThePowerMall.com. Remember, you need the products before you need them. You have to have them in your possession. I just went through this with my aunt. Maybe I'll have my aunt on in a couple weeks or so whenever she, I'll ask her about that and tell her experience. I mean, literally, I think we saved her life. Literally. And I've went back and forth and told the two stories about the other guy who went to the hospital, what have you. We'll talk about that at some other time, but thepowermall.com, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. Getting back to Judd Dunning, our new friend here at the Power Mall, Judd Dunning, bulletpointnation.com is his website, 13 and a half reasons why not to be a liberal and how to enlighten others. And we like to be enlightened, and so we're happy to have him. Judd, you still there, Judd?
I am here. Thank you, Dan.
There you go. Are we ever, this has been such a constitutional crisis, I mean, on at least three major levels that I can name, but are we ever going to get over this?
Listen, the most important numbers in my life right now are 1,382 days to the next election and 665 to the midterms. I think we have to take a lesson from the left, and Navarro talked about this as well. I think our next book actually is going to be about surviving Biden. I tried to copyright it yesterday, which I found out I couldn't until I wrote it. So I better get hustling. You know, look, my theory is this. You know, God says in the Old Testament that we should be joyous every morning and that we should be as successful as possible to spread light around, to provide for our families so that they have time and space to be close to God. So as a conservative, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to be a happy warrior, I'm going to be focused on the gratitude of the inherent freedom I have. But the lesson we learned from the left, thank you so much, Electoral College Challenge, 25th Amendment, the Mueller Report, double impeachment, flipping over the narrative of racism and now violence and a new big switch in the gaslighting media. Hey, if they want to play that ball, let's play it back. If there's people we can knock out in the Senate or in the House to get our balance back, let's go after them legally. Let's not let anything go. I mean, because now we can't be the no miss off Mitt Romney, too nice conservatives of the past. We're going to have to get in there and tangle. And we can still do it as gentlemen and gentlewomen, and we still do it and take the high road no matter what, but we're going to have to be aggressive.
You talk about the elections. You know, one of the thoughts, you know, even our listeners bring this up. I get emails all the time. Why am I ever going to vote again if they can just do that? So why would I look forward
I'm
to the election?
I'm so opposed to that position. I know a lot of people in that. I'm like, you don't give up the system just because it's fallen into the wrong hands. You fight harder. As far as voting, and you know what? The two-party system is 200. If that's another point in our book, it is that it's an old system. And next to Britain, it's the second most efficient transfer of power that we've ever had. If you look at it historically, it's usually like 47, 53, 49, 51. The dynamic tension of our nation is actually a blessing. What changed, and Larry Elder talks about this, is that, you know, our party move we did, and corporatism and media got in, and cancel culture, and now big tech is fueling it. But you know what? The fundamentals are still there, man. With people like you on the air doing what you do, people like me trying to get out the word, there's good people in America. There's 80 million people that just got dispossessed. And I want to say this as far as you can't talk about election fraud anymore. You know what? I refuse that because I was at the polls for Romney in Ohio in Dublin years ago, and there were buses of mostly people, ethnic people coming in. I saw them voting twice. The Electoral College defends us from graft. It's never is there fraud or not fraud. It's like, was there enough fraud to contaminate the process? And now that question is seditious and cancelable, and that's not okay with me.
Great point. Let's get back to your book, 13 and a half Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal, talking to Judd Dunning from Bullet Point Nation. Chapter 7, American Exceptionalism is Not a Hate Crime. I love it. Let's talk about that chapter.
Well, it goes way back. What I love about it, one of the truest points of this chapter, you know, is, look, it was nailed down by Make America Great Again. And I can tell you've got a little bit of love of the Lord there. So the two Southerners getting on the line, I'm going to drop it again. It's like, hide not your light under a bucket, but take it up and let it shine. I was talking about joy and prosperity earlier, which are actually biblical narrative. America is based on those principles. And if you go back to 1929, Joseph Stalin called it the heresy of American exceptionalism. Stalin's resentment of America. That's how he, and that caught on. And at that same time, back in the 30s, there was something going on. People were like, oh, old Uncle Joe is using a progressive theory to try to use government to perfect man instead of God, right? And that's where liberalism got really serious in the 30s. We were actually idealizing the people that went on to kill 50, 60 million people over the following decades. So once again, sitting in history, you know, unlike many nations, you know, America, we have a conscience. And America's not still actively doing its best. We're doing our best to rectify past dealings with Indians, blacks, other groups more seriously. We are aware. There's not a systemic divide of race. Most of the people I know that are minorities want to say, hey, remain colorblind, gender, race, except nationality blind to me. Just give me a fair shot. Let me go out there and, you know, rise or fall.
You talk about using government to perfect man, the kind of the two ideologies, the greater good. That is kind of the ethic of socialism. Isn't that socialism? For the greater good, you are going to sacrifice your individualism. That's kind of the Declaration of Independence versus communism versus the United Nations. I've had a lot of deep discussions. I don't know. We didn't preface this, but since you went down that road, to me, at its, you take it to its fullest extent. Socialism, greater good, you're going to give your will over to a greater Borg. This is no less than, I mean, I don't want to be too dramatic, but this is basically Luciferianism, where Lucifer says, God, give me your glory, give me your will, I will make everybody happy, I will take the, and the glory come to me, give it to me, and I will set everything straight. That, it's really Luciferianism in the governmental form. Your thoughts on that?
I'm aligned. I'll use a little analogy personally. I'm in business. I'm in real estate. And, you know, I work with people that are connected upward. If they're not connected upward, they're going to be sourcing power, esteem, prestige, sexual pleasure, you know, a materialism from the world as their self-value, because we are consumeristic, competitive creatures when cut off from the divine. That's why free markets work inside of our justice system that are based on Judeo-Christian principles. So if I'm working with people that aren't connected to some form of divinity, be it Islam, be it Christianity, the good side of Islam, the Mecca Islam, Buddhism, I don't care. If they're connected to the Lord, the God, and the many forms that it drops down on our planet, like, those are the people that I choose to work with. And that was a force that came together during the Trump years as well. It's very interesting. During the Ameri-shame years of Obama, you know, it got weird to talk about the Lord. People now were open. You saw a Presbyterian, actually ex-Democrat pro-life guy go through a conversion in front of us. There were people close to Trump that said, yeah, he actually went from being kind of, you know, mildly secularist to a really passionate believer in God. So this grandpa, right, later in life had this experience. So I believe there's definitely something going between good and evil, but God gave us these miracles in the past, gave us the wisdom that we have, and it's up to us. And that's kind of more back to the Old Testament. It's like, God, you know, you can ask God to save your soul. You can ask him to intervene and bless, you know, noble activities. But it comes down to you to put your hands in the dirt and change things to the face of what is good. So we've got some work ahead, and we've got to be rolling against socialism and communism, because, you know, it's based in that government is the religion of the people. So you got to get rid of religion and then make government the religion of the people as the first step.
I'm just skipping around on these chapters. I think all of them are good. You mentioned
I like
earlier,
it. You're holding me to, I have to actually know what I wrote. I like this show.
Well, you wrote it, I assume. So
it's all in there.
Chapter 13 and a half, babies are beautiful and so are women's rights. You know, this abortion issue, I have a hard time believing that Thomas Jefferson would be okay with me being forced to pay for somebody else's abortion. That seems so un-American. I don't even know, I didn't even get to that chapter in the book, but I saw it there. Tell me about that chapter and how that involves in any of this.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, if all women could end unwanted pregnancies, like, none of us would be here right now. Like, particularly if they could do it retroactively, you know, they'd be like, I'm tired of you. We'll get rid of you, right? I mean, that's, you got to joke around a little bit. It's a heavy topic. But, you know, the way that we saw, it's an interesting year on this topic, right? Because look what we saw in New York and Virginia. Basically, you know, abortion and dilation, you know, beating hearts. You know, a slip of timing, and you're basically killing somebody in the sphere of existence. Then you saw, like, Alabama and Georgia go in the other direction. And that's how it's supposed to be set up. This is a big issue through federalism. If our nation didn't have a struggle over this issue, we wouldn't be a Judeo-Christian conscious of all Western nations. This is life, right? This is a very, very big deal. In this chapter, though, my co-writer, Eric Golub, became a contributing writer. I wrote it, and he came back, cleaned everything up, did a great job. He's a wonderful guy. He wouldn't write on this because he stands kind of hands-off on it. And so I went a different direction. So what I open, I'll talk about it openly here on the show. You know, we're, as my mom said, churches and temples are not holy places for saints, but hospitals for sinners. Amen. God bless your soul. And, you know, I went through, when I was a liberal, I went through a couple pregnancy crises. And I was such a liberal, I really wanted to have these kids. And I just didn't have a voice. I'm no victim, man. I made my own mistakes, you know. And then the good Lord, years later, I went through two abortions during these 30 years of liberalism. And with, you know, with liberal mates in my life, And it was horrible. It was so horrible. But then I had a real epiphany. And then later, I have two step kids that I've raised for 15 years. And, you know, God gave me those kids to raise, and it's amazing. But I had this one guy who came into my life, and I became very successful in real estate. And, you know, his mom was on the abortion table. And they suddenly got up, they walked out. And he found me, and he pulled me from one business to another business. He'd show up here and make me work from 6 a.m. to 2 at night. He believed in me, and my life and my family prospered. And he went back to his family that was going to that had, you know, put him up for adoption. And he now runs. He has 7 kids, and he now runs 200 people. I could cry here. He has 200 people that have a family reunion. He's brought together two families throughout Texas and Minnesota, and he has changed the lives of so many people. We never know what that spark's going to do, and I just don't think it's up to us. So I figured the best way to write that was personally, talk about my regret and my challenges, and end the book that way.
Why is this such a you know, what you just said seems common sense and seems, you know, there's two different discussions of it, and I we're probably hanging on this too much for you, but I don't want to bring this discussion down and so heavy, but there's two different arguments or discussions about abortion to me. One is, does a woman have a right to have an abortion? That is a discussion. A discussion B is, can the government force me to pay for this lady's abortion? To me, those are two different discussions. Do you agree with that, or am I clouding this issue even further?
No, I think you're dead on. Look at our title. Babies are beautiful, and so are women's rights, abortion. And they stand hand in hand. Look, women came to the voting party last. Women have had a really, challenging time coming up in parity. I think most of that is systematically gone, and the rest is being solved through the free market system, where women are becoming some of the richest and most powerful leaders and thought leaders in the United States of America. We try to keep moving forward fast instead of suffering through all that. But, I think what we have to do is, I mean, I don't want to cop out on this, but as Ronald Reagan said, you can vote with your feet. So there's always going to be a majority or at least a good balance of states that are in both areas. So in American culture, the fact that we are split, maybe the federal government is going to get involved or not get involved either way, depending what happens. Right? I think right now abortion is very, very safe with Biden in office. I think our country has some inherent protections. So the good news is, you know, we don't have to go to the absolute question on that, because it's solved by what's actually already in place. Hey, it might be inconvenient. You might have to drive 50 miles. Is that the worst? Is that the worst? Maybe somebody lets a kid live that changes the world.
Let's move on, because this is, I mean, it's such a honeypot in so many ways, but important at the same time. I think you outlined kind of these issues very well.
I mean, that's why we went into the question. Some questions are best left unanswered, but you stand by what you believe. And that's what we did. That's why we put it last.
Immigration, we are seeing as it gets closer, or we saw as it got closer to the inauguration day, the installment day, I'll say, that we saw migrant camps of people, thousands, tens of thousands of people starting to march towards the border, immigration. Why is this such a complicated issue? Why is America the only nation that can't secure their border?
Well, to talk to the common day for a second before we get to the greater ideological, you know, I love that Biden's overturning all of Trump's immigration orders, as you know, because I think it's about time we recognize diversity in all COVID strains. Is he going to let every type of COVID in right now? Isn't that what the Dream Act is all about? And then we're going to do the same. He said it was going to be COVID and bombs, letting people come in from other countries that hate us. I mean, there's some weird stuff going around. And then he wants to throw out the word alien from immigration legislation. I mean, I'm fine with that. I just say we just call him MS-13, get it over with. You know, I mean, there's some real craziness, and I'm joking, because that's what we do on the show. We joke and talk hard facts, and you have to joke. But Biden is so illogical and inconsistent. You know, everybody down by the border, there was a great thing that came out on Politico. The people that live in the border are like, oh, my God, thank you. It's like, you know, our lives are normal. We don't have you know, fentanyl and sex trafficking running through our in our neighborhoods at night, you know?
Through our farm.
So, yeah, through our farms, you know? And the other thing, too, is go back to the day. We don't, you know, America needs to get off the teat of cheap labor. You know, I'm fine with us paying more at the markets for us to stop using a second-class group of hijacked citizens. Look, the right, we care about minorities. And we don't want cheap labor to come over. I mean, it's gonna be tough on farmers. It's gonna be tough on a lot of people that rely on us. But you know, we need to stop treating Mexicans like second class citizens or people from all those countries. And rationalizing this border thing is a greater issue there. And you know, Democrats are like, oh, we're the party of parity and unity. Hey, well then, you know what? Put up that border wall, make it tough for people to get in, get rid of this the abuse of immigration cheap labor. Stop pandering with $15 executive, workers' wages today, minimum wage, because they're not looking at the truth of what the real issue is at the border.
The, you know, of all the unique things about America, probably the most unique to America major issue are the guns. Guns are as American as mom and apple pie. That's how America started. Britain went to take the guns and America said, no, not only no, but hell no. I mean, that's literally how America started, unique to our country. You have a chapter on guns. Why is this such an important issue?
Well, anybody believes in gun control has not experienced the sheer joy and exhilaration of stopping somebody breaking into their house, right?
I mean, yeah.
The reality of having your castle law, having your domain. Let me go to where I live. I live in Mar Vista, California, and that's as much as I'll tell people today with where I stand politically. And you know, I've got a nice house, nice neighborhood. They're not now. They've got this Prop 49 or 47 where you can't hold somebody accountable for a crime under $1,000. So they basically rip off anything they want, get a slap on the wrist. They can use Class A drugs in your neighborhood and not get thrown in jail. We're basically letting people out of jail. So guns are actually becoming more and more important, with particularly in these Democratic states where they're not monitoring mental illness and drug addiction. And this tent down the street, and God rest his soul, there was a bunch of people down there. I went down there because I said, you know, there's a threat to my kids. I'm going to go. There was 72 hypodermics out there. You know, there was human feces. There was people were living. One of the persons died. I went down there. I cleaned. I helped out. You know, I'm a Christian. I do everything I can for the people directly that I can without harming them. But there are rising security issues just on a domestic level. The second thing, though, in our book we address, which is one of the reasons we have so many guns, it's because we're successful. Rich countries can have more weapons because we like guns. They're fun. You get to hunt with guns. There's a lot of other things instead of, this, you know, other hyperbole. And then people go, well, oh, assault rifles. We all know the truth of assault rifles. Assault rifles, most of them are a repeating weapon that has a scary piece of plastic on it. And Tommy guns, since the time of the gangsters, have been illegal since the 50s. Gun control legislation dominates the Federal Register with 30,000 pages. We are highly regulated in guns. What happens is somebody, there's a shooting or a person acts horribly, as people do in life, and then liberals want to solve it by jumping onto our constitutional rights rather than grieving the fact that there are ill people and they're suffering in the world. In gun-free zones, there's less crime because of these issues. So the more that we keep leaning in, I think it was great that the NRA moved down to Texas and BK'd where they were so that they wouldn't get infringed upon. It's definitely an issue we have to pay attention to.
You know, I've written a book before, and, you know, if you've never written a book, ladies and gentlemen, when you start, you have, at least for me, Judd, you can comment as if you want, you start with something in your mind, but writing a book is not that, and by the time you're done, you've changed more than anything. It's kind of a whole process. Do you feel that with what you went through writing this book, and what have you learned that you kind of surprised you?
Oh, that's a great question. What surprised me in the book? You know, by the time I got to the book, I was a check-the-box conservative. You know, I'd been in a book club with a bunch of liberals for 15 years, and everybody went through and became conservatives through studying, you know, and everybody fought. We had these long discussions through every major issue of this ideology. So it was kind of the outcome of that conversion. And there are people in there that really don't want to be conservative. It does not fit who they want to be, but the truth kept setting them free. And then, you know, behind that, what happens is that group of people, conservative conversation, I won't say who their members are, but we meet every 5 weeks for 15 years and read. That group of people now, we're a family based in divinity. There's people from all different places of religion. But behind the Constitution, behind what's good in America is, you know, Neoplatonic Greek thought that was infused by the Enlightenment that should have happened. We're the Goldilocks zone of freedom and prosperity in the world. We're like how the Earth sits in a solar system. We also are geographically isolated, as Thomas Sowell talked about in one of his books. We got lucky because our rivers are deep and our access points are available, and there's not a lot of people to run over our borders in both directions. We're a very, very fortunate group. So I would say gratitude, you know, just the depth of resiliency of even deeper gratitude and finding that I couldn't prove myself wrong was probably one of my epiphanies in this book, you know. And I'm not saying, like, I just want to tell everybody, my best friend is a Democratic Socialist Bernie-crat. I love America. I love Democrats because the dynamic tension is what's been creating our forward progress. There's no left without a right. There's no right without a left. So we're being hijacked right now. You know, I would say, if anything, see these people out there with, I learned in this to see people with more compassion and more patience.
Well, it's something we could all learn. Judd Dunning is his name, bulletpointnation.com, his website, his podcast, 13 and a half reasons why not to be a liberal and how to enlighten others. I've enjoyed the book. I have not read it all, but what I have, I really enjoyed it. As you can hear, listening to him, ladies and gentlemen, really compelling. This is the way the book is, really simple, compelling, thought-provoking. I love it. Judd, it's been a pleasure to have you on. We got about a minute or so. Last thought is yours.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. I'll just let your viewers know that I do a show with Michael Loftus. He's kind of one of the big comedians on Fox, at Bullet Point Nation on YouTube. Bullet Point Nation is also our website. You can get our book on Amazon. It's just been an honor to be here with another patriot. God bless.
God bless you, Judd. You always have a friend here. Stay right there. Ladies and gentlemen, the end of the weekend. Have a great weekend. Try to put everything behind you. Remember, what's important, hold the things that you hold dear. We want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. We'll see you next week.
Who's bigger than the heavens? The lover of my soul, Creator God, He is Yahweh. Great I am, He is Yahweh. The Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Those of Sharon, He is Yahweh. The righteous Son, He is Yahweh. The three in one, He is Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.